Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Tagore Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nashta Prayeshya Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the morning Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Thank you all for joining. Please excuse me for being the most junior devotee and sitting on the Vyasa sun. Please give me your blessings so I can do some service and try to speak some things. You can turn it down a little bit. So we're reading from Canto 10, text 1, or chapter 1, text 23. So find it real quick. So you can chant repeated. Vasudeva Griha Saksha Bhagavan Purusha Para janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Vasudeva grihe sakshat. Bhagavan purusha para. Janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Vasudeva grihe saksha. Bhagavan purusha para. Janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Please. Vasudeva grihe sakshat. Bhagavan purusha para. Janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Vasudeva grihe sakshat. Bhagavan purusha para. Janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Vasudeva grihe sakshat. Bhagavan purusha para. Janishyate tat priyartam. Sambhavantu surastriya. Vasudeva grihe. In the house of Vasudeva, who would be the father of Krishna when the Lord appeared? Sakshat, personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has full potency. Purusha, the original person. Paraha, who is transcendental. Janishyate, will appear. Tat priya artam, and for his satisfaction. Sambhavantu, should take birth. Sura striyaha, all the wives of the demigods. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4:9, the Lord says, Tyaktva deham punar janma neti mam eti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in the house of a suci or sriman, a pious brahmana or a wealthy vaishya, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Vijayate. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is said, Sambhavantu Sura Striyaha. Sura Stri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Sura Stri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Sura Stri were to appear in different ways in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarkapuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among the Sura Stri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of Upendra, of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for this connection. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Rompada Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnupadaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gauravani Pachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Vanchakopa Turubhishcha Kripa Sinubheva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I find this to be a really nice verse, a nice glimpse as to the results of engaging in devotional service. Very explicit detail is given of how these devotees entered into the Leela of Krishna. So in the verse, it's Sura Striyaha. So it's the wives of the demigods, and it's explained that they were called down to come down, and at the end of the purport it's described that they were actually highly qualified devotees, so that's why they were ready to enter into the pastimes of the Lord on this planet to receive further training to go back to the spiritual world. So this is a really detailed description of how devotees go back to Godhead, which we hear often in Srila Prabhupada's purports, that this happens, that before we get to go back to the spiritual world, we take birth in the pastimes of the Lord on this planet, or in the material world, maybe like not in this planet, wherever the Lord is displaying his pastimes in the material world. Before we go back to the spiritual world, we go where in one of the universes where he's displaying his pastimes. So that's what this particular purport is describing, that there's innumerable universes, and in each one the Lord is appearing somewhere, and so that's why the pastimes are called Nitya Lila. So we may, because of we're engaging in the process of devotional service, we may be getting the opportunity to go to another universe, the next universe that Krishna appeared, wherever that may be. Another interesting point that Srila Prabhupada brings up is from the Bhagavad Gita of how devotees go up. If they're not complete, if we don't complete our devotional service, we take birth in the heavenly planets. So I've heard that this is something we really don't want. That's what I've heard, that explanation. Like, we don't want to go to the heavenly planets because we might forget devotional service. We might get absorbed in the enjoyment there and the opulence, like the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam. So, Samadho Navadhyate. So, if we get too absorbed in the opulences and the sense enjoyment of the heavenly planets, then we may not make further progress, too much progress. We may get distracted by the heavenly damsels of the spiritual world, or the big mangoes that are falling from the trees and entering into the rivers, and the golden ornaments of all the individuals on these heavenly planets. But this is describing like a different perspective on that. Prabhupada in the purport is describing that actually you can further your devotional service in the heavenly planets and further qualify yourselves. We can further qualify ourselves there and perfect ourselves there in the heavenly planets as well. So this is like another perspective on that. How there's no loss in the devotional service, and there's opportunity to advance there, and then from that point we can enter also into the Lord's pastimes, like as going on here, these wives of the demigods. So Srila Prabhupada gives an example of one as the mother of the Upendra incarnation of Krishna. Is one such woman of the heavenly planets, which he describes, there are many devotees there. So, and it was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. So it wasn't just ordinary demigods, but they were highly devoted demigods. And they were fully qualified to take birth in the association of Krishna. So that's the main point that I find in this verse, and the importance, the detailed description of these residents of the heavenly planets who came down to engage in the pastimes and receive further training to be able to go back to the spiritual world. So kind of on a practical level, like another major point is this idea of training. Training is a big part of Krishna consciousness. We have to qualify ourselves. We have to improve our state of consciousness. So that's all the activities of devotional service are to, of sadhana, the practice level of devotional service is to improve our state of consciousness and purify us of the anarthas, the unwanted things in our consciousness. Anarthas, like the lust, is the major anartha. This hankering for material desire, material enjoyment separate from Krishna. This is a major anartha, things that are not wanted for the soul. There's the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Jehi samsparsa jaboka dukkha yonai evate adyantavante konteya nateshu ramate buddha. So sense enjoyment is due to contact with our senses, with material objects, are the causes of suffering. It's because they have a beginning and an end. So the wise person, an intelligent person, one who has spiritual intelligence, doesn't derive their happiness from this activities of engaging our senses in material sense objects. So this is the training. The training is to purify our senses by engaging them in the service of Krishna, and purify our consciousness, the anarthas in our consciousness and our senses, by engaging everything that we have in the service of Krishna. This is the process of sadhana bhakti, as described by Rupa Goswami. Engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, and by purifying our consciousness, gradually we come to understand who Krishna really is. So this training is a really important part on the sadhana practice level, as well as even further into actually the stages of perfection. There's also training of how to become a resident of Vrindavan. So I guess this is the platform of Raghunuga sadhana bhakti, what these demigods taking birth in the pastimes of Krishna are going through, the Raghunuga sadhana of they're going through this training to become a resident of Vrindavan. So first we have to, at our level, at least my level, maybe other people are further in their Krishna consciousness, but first we have to free ourselves of base level anarthas and before we can do that. So that's the kind of training that I'm receiving, we are receiving and through Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the establishment of ISKCON and the whole process of sadhana bhakti given by Srila Rupa Goswami, engaging our senses and serving the deities and chanting the holy name and tasting Krishna prasadam. This is all training, especially getting guidance from senior devotees is very important for this training. We see how they carry themselves, how they behave, how they treat other people, all these really strong qualities that they have because of practice, extended practice of sadhana bhakti, Krishna consciousness. So by associating with them and taking guidance from them, we develop this higher qualifications. It purifies our consciousness, and by following their instructions, following in their footsteps, continuing to practice, we qualify ourselves to enter further and further into closer association, higher association, eventually into the association of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna directly. It's one thing I'm very grateful for is the association of strong senior devotees and the mentors and guidance that I'm receiving is very nice. So I pray to be able to continue to to take advantage of that association and furthering my training and furthering my advancement of consciousness. There's a similar verse I was just reading in the ninth canto in regards to this of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Also it's described there that all these devotees took birth in Lord Ramachandra's pastimes also, and they received training there to enter into the spiritual world. It's a different rasa, I guess, the Lord Ramachandra. But the point was the same, that because Lord Ram was the king of Ayodhya, that all the residents were engaged perfectly in the Varnashram Dharma system, which, of course, because Lord Ramachandra was the head of that Varnashram culture, like directly present, that all the residents were directly engaged in pure devotional service and were getting trained to enter into Ayodhya and into the pastime, eternal pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So I can read something from that verse about this training. Specifically, I like this topic because it's about Varnashram Dharma, which I find to be extremely practical to understand for our situation in the material world. So this is from the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, 9th canto, chapter 10, text 50. So I'll read the verse in purport because I find it relevant. So, being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father, and the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashram, accepted him as their father. And purport. People are very fond of the pattern of Rama Rajya, and even today politicians sometimes form a party called Rama Rajya, but unfortunately they have no obedience to Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of Lord Ramachandra, accepted the Lord as their father. Thus, the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that between a father and son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother, and when the father is well qualified, he takes good care of the children, as indicated here by the words Svadharma Nirata Varnashram Gunan Vita. The people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashrama, which arranges society in the Varna divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, and the Ashrama divisions of Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashrama occupational duties. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chatur Varnya Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. The four Varnas must be established according to varying qualities and work. The first principle for good government is that it must institute this Varnashram system. The purpose of Varnashram is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnu Aradyate. The entire Varnashram scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavas. Vishnu Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashrama, as they were during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow the Varnashram principles. Simply enforcing laws and ordinances cannot make the citizens obedient and lawful. That is impossible. Throughout the entire world, there are so many states, legislative assemblies, and parliaments, but still the citizens are rogues and thieves. Good citizenship, therefore, cannot be enforced. The citizens must be trained. As there are schools and colleges to train students to become chemical engineers, lawyers, or specialists in many other departments of knowledge, there must be schools and colleges to train students to become brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras, brahmacharyas, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. This will provide the preliminary condition for good citizenship. Varnashrama gunan vita. Generally speaking, if the king or president is a rajarshi, the relationship between the citizens and the chief executive will be clear, and there will be no possibility of disruption in the state, because the number of thieves and rogues will decrease. In Kali Yuga, however, because the varnashram system is neglected, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues, and thus there is chaos in every government, and no one is happy. But here, the example of good government is to be found in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. End of purport. In the next purport, Srila Prabhupada says, among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dvarpa, and Kali, Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. So, this is part of Srila Prabhupada's instruction to establish Varnashram Dharma in the world, to save the world from this situation of rogues and thieves of the government and the general people. The general people are their tendency is to be rogues and thieves, and the government is also rogues and thieves taking from the other rogues and thieves. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. And he says that simply by enforcing the laws and ordinances of not stealing or things like that is not working, right? It's not working. There's so much out of control. And simply by having a police or military force without the intelligence of the Brahminical class to provide the proper training, then it's impossible to have a well-functioning society, what to speak of God-conscious society. So Srila Prabhupada's instruction is to establish Varnashram Dharma based on chanting. Of course, the Yuga Dharma is in the center. In many places, Srila Prabhupada also said, we can't fully establish Varnashram Dharma, but in many places he instructed us to do so as well. So we may not be able to fully establish it, but we still strive to do it as an instruction for the purpose of the upliftment of society. So what does it look like to establish Varnashram Dharma? It's described in this purport. It starts with training and education. So thorough training in Krishna consciousness is the beginning, training people to really become solid devotees, strong devotees, and with great character and influence and knowledge and compassion. Starts within our society, within ourselves. Training, we can take advantage of the knowledge that we've been given and the practices and purifying our consciousness with the holy name and becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness and becoming leaders. That's the mission, that's the instruction of Lord Chaitanya, is everyone is meant to be coming like this, a leader, a spiritual teacher, a guru. It's our duty, everyone's, whether little or big, you know, it's our duty, it's our service to, it's our debt to Srila Prabhupada. He's given us so much, so we have to strive to pay it back, pay it forth by taking up his instructions. So I envision how it can be done. There's actually the Christian church has a lot of these aspects. You see that they have private schools, the Christian church. A lot of the universities in the Western world and the good, the schools that are more successful in preliminary education are run by the Christian church. So people who have some money send their children to these private schools to get better education. So we can also do that. We can also establish schools. We are doing it a few places, in Alachua, Dallas, I believe. Some homeschooling is going on here, and we can see the results of that. Children who get homeschooled, super powerful. So that's a big thing to focus on, is this education of children and also on a up to the level of Srila Prabhupada instructed us to establish Varnashram colleges too. And providing this employment in a Krishna conscious atmosphere is really nice. So finding ways to engage people in occupations, that's Varnashram. Varna means occupation. So establishing varnas in a Krishna conscious way. Developing schools, educational facilities can provide occupations. Another major thing that our movement does is restaurants, cafes, things like that. So this provides vegetarian food. We spread the non-violence principle and also the principle of distributing prasadam, and we also engage people in occupation, a Krishna conscious occupation, so they can make a living. We can do many restaurants like this, in Chaupadi, they've in Mumbai they've started a hospital. So, Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So, these are ways of implementing Varnashram Dharma. These are ways to give support for our society of devotees for life long practice of chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise, we have this ideal perspective of our movement in 1967-68, everyone just lived in the temples. But Srila Prabhupada gave further instructions that to establish a whole culture based on the principles of Varnashram, and that provides the social structure for many people to come to Krishna consciousness gradually, to learn how to become a Vaishnava over their whole lives. Otherwise, we see people come to the temple and then they go away. They barely get engaged. They're not maybe ready to become a brahmacharya. Few people are ready, and most people, after being a brahmacharya for a short time, they go away too. So this social structure is Srila Prabhupada's 50% of his mission. So this has to be taken very seriously. How do we establish it? How do we follow this instruction? How do we follow this instruction but not lose the essence of chanting, also the importance of the other 50% of doing Sankirtan? If we get too much on the extreme of establishing Varnashram and we lose the Yuga Dharma of Kali Yuga, and we don't do Harinam Sankirtan, then it becomes mostly an extra over-endeavor. But with the right consciousness, with Harinam in the center, and establishing these types of occupations and this type of education and training. This is Srila Prabhupada's complete mission, 100%. We do a lot of Harinam, a lot of book distribution, and we establish these principles of Varnashram. And it's interesting, we see that the biggest book distributors in America are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're out every single day. They have almost every corner of every street. Are they grihastas, or do they have jobs too? They must have some jobs, but they're still finding time to do the Sankirtan for their particular faith. And Vaisheshika Prabhu's in ISKCON Silicon Valley is mostly grihastha devotees, but they are distributing a lot of books and doing a lot of Sankirtan while they still have full-time occupations. So this is how it can be done. It's not easy to be outside of a regular occupation, to transcend the varnas. It's not easy to be a brahmachari for your whole life and not have an occupation. It's very difficult, and only a few people can do it. But it's not, that's good if anyone can do that, but the facility can be given for those who aren't able to do that, to engage in a nice occupation and make great progress. In that way, a lot of people can get this training and become Vaishnavas through that, these principles of a lifelong practice of Krishna consciousness. It's not a sprint. Who can move into the temple the fastest and give up all their duties and just chant as much as possible for a few days and then leave for a few years. So these are my thoughts on this, to connect that to this verse of training. I didn't speak much about Krishna because I don't have much realization, but I like talking about practical things, so I spoke mostly about this principles of Varnashram Dharma, because that's where my thoughts are at mostly. So if there's any thoughts or questions or comments how we can implement Varnashram Dharma, we could have a discussion or anything else too.
Thanks for the class, Kiridari. It was a beautiful verse today, and reminded me the first Sunday that I came here on June 2010, when Nityananda was giving a class based on a similar topic in the different universes and different worlds, you know, parallel that exist. The scientists are trying to elucidate that to a trivial comment. Steve Hawking passed away today, and is one of the guys that is trying to establish that parallel universes.
Just this morning, right now?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, and when I've heard it for the first time in Nityananda Pran's voice, sounded for me like a promise that kept me going up until today. Mm. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse talking about all these possibilities of a way much better life than the one that we have here. Mm. That's all what I want to say.
Thank you. Yeah, it's even just the understanding, like the material universe, is with more clarity is very helpful for our consciousness, because it broadens our vision. We see there's so much more, and we don't get so caught up in short-term problems, because it's so expansive and eternal. Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. The purport you quoted with Lord Ramachandra, I was actually looking for that purport for the longest time, because I remember it, but I forgot where it was, so I'll get it from you after class. But I kind of want to make some appreciations of that purport, and maybe you could expand on it. In that purport, it was mentioning that Lord Ramachandra, he treated everyone like a father treats his son, with the responsibility of a leader. And a lot of times, a leader, you know, generally speaking, let me discipline, you know, and that's part of one aspect. But we see that when a father or a mother discipline their child, they're not always disciplining their child. They're honoring their child with birthdays, compliments, love, and respect, not just disciplining all the time. That's one thing that I try to keep in mind. And because when Prabhupada started the movement, everyone generally sees him in his, you know, disciplinary aspect. But when he started the movement, he didn't just say, follow the four regular principles, do this, do that. He just chanted Hare Krishna, and he served the devotees. And then one of the his disciples asked, are there any rules and regulations we should follow? And then Prabhupada said, yes, finally you ask. So there's a quote that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And Jimi Hendrix also said, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. So my question is related to this point, is that the tendency is that when we're kind to others, like Prabhupada, we generally expect a certain result, that others will be kind to us. But we see that the result of Jesus' kindness, he got crucified. The result of Haridas Thakur's kindness, he got beat in 22 marketplaces. The result of Parushuram's father, he served Katavi Arjuna's entire army. And then Katavi Arjuna stole Parushuram's father's, you know, there's so many pastimes like this, where you're kind to others and they're not kind to you. So there's a quote that says, just because you respect others, that doesn't mean others will respect you. That's like expecting a lion not to eat you because you didn't eat him. And so how to maintain this your integrity, your compassion, and your kindness when you expect a certain result? Because that's the tendency in the material world. Oh, yes, you'll get a certain result if you're kind, you're compassionate, but that's not always the case.
Yeah.
And so how do you maintain? Because people are, it's easily you lose your integrity and just, okay, look, I'm tired of turning the other cheek, so I'm going to be just as demoniac as them. So how does one maintain their integrity despite all obstacles? I have some ideas, but maybe you could explain your understanding.
My thought is that more I've been realizing this, that I'm wondering, like, why like Krishna comes, he only came 5,000 years ago, you know, Svayam Bhagavan Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, but instantly, right away, everything gets covered over. Like, right away, all the principles of irreligion start manifesting right after he leaves. The brahmanas fall down. Kali Yuga begins. Lord Chaitanya was here again, Krishna himself, 500 years ago, only 500 years ago on this planet. But still, it's like just covered over, like right away. Like... So I've just been accepting, like more so just accepting the fact that this is the way the material world works. And the point is not to stay in the material world. So how to go beyond these things is to understand that this is the way the material world works, and having the goal in mind that of going back to the spiritual world. That's how you maintain steadiness in all these circumstances, because it's just the way it is and it will never change. Krishna comes and instantly the material world stays the same right after he leaves. But he gives us the chance to come back by leaving the Srimad Bhagavatam, leaving instructions and leaving his holy name. But right away, the irreligion and quarrel and all these things just manifest again. And it just makes me think, like, why can't this world just be nice? But it's just not. It's just the material world is made to give us misery. It's what it is. The material world is made for conflict. It's the potency of the material world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and full of miseries. It's just, I'm trying to learn how to just accept that fact that it'll never be good. It'll never be okay. Until we return to the spiritual world, until we get the association of Krishna, it'll never be a good situation. Yeah. So.
Thanks for the class, Prabhu. What does it mean to complete the execution of devotional service? You understand the question?
Let me think about it for a second.
Yes, yeah, right here at the bottom.
Where is it at again? They completed their process of devotional service. So I guess completing it means to get to the stage of perfection. I don't really know how to answer the question, to be completely honest with you. But you have something to say?
So your question is, what is complete devotional service? Complete devotional service. Actually, complete devotional service means 9 types of services. So starting with hearing, then chanting, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Padasevam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedam. Then there are different stages. First is hearing. Devotional service starts from hearing. And whatever you have heard, tell others. Then after that you will come to a stage of silence. And so now you don't want to speak with nonsense, everything. All anartha will go away. And unwanted things. So like that, then dasyam, you will follow the servitude, how I will give service to others, like that. Then you will try to make friendship with Krishna, different stage. So like that, when from friendship, then you will come, oh, Krishna is my lover, I don't want to love anybody else. So like that, you know, similar different stages. So that is why it is described 9 devotional services there, 9 types. Okay? Starting with the devotion. Nectar of devotion states, if you stick up with one thing out of all 9 parts of devotional service, you will get perfection. For example, just keep hearing, like Parikriti Maharaj, just keep on hearing. Then chanting, he became perfect. Similarly, chanting, when he will glorify about the holy name of Krishna, his pastimes, like Sutta Goswami, and Sukadev Goswami, and you know, they got perfection. Similarly, by servitude, Hanuman, he became perfection. So even if you stick with one devotional service, one part of devotional service, strongly, you will get perfection. Doesn't matter, you have to complete all the 9 processes. What?
Yeah, my thought is that the completeness means that there they become qualified to actually associate with Krishna. That's what this verse is describing in the purport. So through this process of practice, then you get to the stage where actually you're qualified to associate with Krishna, and that's the perfectional stage. So,
only qualification, how to become, you know, attract all this is, that's why Nectar of Devotion is stating, Rupa Goswami is telling, loyalam. Loyalam means you have to eagerness, yeah. How to serve. That is the minute things we need, eagerness, sraddha, sraddha, yeah. Sraddha.
That's not his question though, it's not the answer to his question. I mean, you're not saying anything wrong, but his question is, what does it mean to complete devotional service? Like, because in this purport, it's describing the wives of the demigods who they completed their devotional service, so then they became qualified to take birth in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So, what does it mean to be completed, to complete the devotional service?
My little realization is that also that complete when we are sincere and we're pure of heart to do our devotional service, that is the completeness in my eyes.
Thank you for sharing.
In Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, it says that Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Anabritam Anukulyani Krishnanu Silanam Bhakti Uttam. Complete devotional service means only a favor of Krishna, not our sense gratification. Those who are in, you know, heavenly planet, Sura Istriya, here in mentioning Sura Istriya, they are already in mode of goodness in heavenly planets. Why they are coming here? They are doing their sense gratification, even they are doing bhakti, but still some percent of bhakti they are doing sense gratification. So now they are engaging themselves, completely engaging in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna's pastimes. So anukula, favorable to Krishna, it's favorable to Krishna, that's why it's complete. Otherwise they were in devotional service, they are doing the, you know, rules of Krishna, they are doing everything according to rules of Krishna. But now they are, those who are very exalted, they are coming down to Krishna's lila. So this way, anukulyana Krishna, anukulya, you know, under the guidance of Krishna, they are doing the lila, you know, engaging themselves in a lila of Krishna. So is Bhakti Rasami Sindhu says, Anuklena Krishna, Silanam Bhakti Uttama. The complete and in a higher devotional service is according to Krishna. We have to surrender unto Krishna. And Prabhupada, one lecture Prabhupada was saying that if I ask me, you know, water, you can't give me milk. You can't say me, you know, milk is better than water. You can't say like that. They are doing devotional service, but according to Krishna's desire, if we serve him, then he will be pleased. So that was the Sura Istriya are coming down to please Krishna. Those who are higher exalted, they are coming down to Krishna. So I think it's a complete devotional service. Not my desire, according to Krishna's desire, whatever Krishna wants, just please Krishna, that's complete desire.
Hare Krishna, thank you. I just one last brief comment related to my question. And one of the most important points I try to keep in mind is why the great saints were always happy despite so many obstacles coming against them. Well, they were spiritual valedictorians. And we see that in the material world, a valedictorian's happiness comes from them passing their own exam. Their happiness never comes from someone else passing their exam. In much the same way we see these great saints, they're always spiritually happy because they're valedictorians. Why? Because their happiness never comes from other people passing their character exam. The happiness comes from whether they pass their own character exam, whether they're humble, whether they're forgiving, whether they're tolerant. Because if our happiness is always dependent on whether other people pass their character exam, then you'll always be miserable because people don't study. Shruti Shrinti Purana Adi Panchadachi Vidimvina Aikantike Hare Bhatte Utpati Yava Kalpate. That's what Rupa Goswami says, that you have to study your exam, but if you're not studying your exam, then you won't pass your character exam. So that's one of the most important things, is that our happiness should never be dependent on whether other people pass their exams. And then you'll commit offenses if it is. And then you'll always be miserable committing offenses, never appreciating devotees, always complaining about devotees, never showing gratitude to devotees, just always wondering why, you know, this devotee's annoying. So we see in the material world, we should be grateful for devotees, grateful for prasadam, because people are being murdered in the material world, raped, tortured. So we have to keep things in perspective. This is a spiritual vacation. So why are we unnecessarily causing misery for ourselves? You know, because we can't appreciate devotees, the glories of devotees. So there may be disagreements, but so what? They're a devotee. So there's one last quote that says...
I'm not sure why you're speaking so strongly. Like, it seems like you have some like negative experience.
No. Vishwasura, he was cursed by Lord Shiva. And he was screaming, yelling at them. But you know what they said in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam? They said, Vishwasura, he has the body of one in the most of passion and ignorance. Yes, he has more love for the Lord than the demigods. So there's a quote that says, you can't judge a book by its cover. You may miss out on a great story. So we should never judge people of how they talk, how they look, how they speak. Then we lose our gratitude and our forgiveness. So that's the most important thing. People may criticize us. People may judge us. Oh, why are you talking like this? Or why are you looking like this? So what? Everyone's a devotee. Devotees are not robots. They're individual Christians, giving devotees so many aspects to use in Krishna consciousness. And so that's why Prabhupada came to preach. He saw the greatness within everyone. There's a quote that says, surround yourself with the dreamers and the doers, the believers and the thinkers. But most of all, surround yourself with those who see the greatness within you, even when you don't see it within yourself. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shune Chaiva Swapake Cha Pandita Samadarshinaha. And that's what Prabhupada, and that's why he was able to transform lives, because he saw the greatness in everyone. He wasn't judging people of how they spoke, how they looked, and how they talked. And so that's one of the most important things. So anyway, I'm always happy. So no, I'm very happy. But I know that people, I'm not a soft-spoken person. I usually fall asleep when in classes with soft-spoken. So I need to keep myself awake. So thank you for your class. And that's one of the most important things I like to keep in mind. So Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada said in his lecture that complete devotional service means ananya bhakti. Ananya means na anya, no other person. He is always engaging the service of the Lord Krishna and the Guru. This is complete devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada said. Ananya bhakti means always engaging 24 hours in the devotional service for the pleasing of Lord Krishna and Guru. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Alright. Anything else? No? Alright. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for joining the class.